I really enjoyed the conference thus far and the man after God's own heart and the perfect man that we were to mark and the remarks that I would make now. I'd like to just put a little PS to the subject that has been dealt with and just to say a little more on something that has already been stressed here today. And I'd like to talk to you today about your pleasures. And the things that I would say, I sometimes hear it said that a person shouldn't speak on a subject unless he's a good example of it. Well, I think that if I was waiting for that day, I wouldn't be speaking on this subject today, but it's something that has been pressing my heart a bit, and I will include myself as with you in the things that I would say today. It's not even a subject that I really think is to be given to young people, because I don't think some of us that are older are lacking in the need of examining our own heart on the matter of where our pleasures lie. I wonder if you keep a diary. I wonder if you, maybe at the end of the day, you write down the highlights of the day. And I wonder in that highlights of the day, how often there's a notation of how much you enjoyed a time of prayer. Maybe a notation of some scripture from the Word of God that has really thrilled your soul. And it's just stayed with you the whole day long, and at the end of the day you wanted to just make a little record of something of the Word of God that has you found it positively thrilling. Maybe through the day your heart has been stirred to praising the Lord. And to you, that has been a highlight of the day. But I keep a diary, and I'm not going to show it to you. But it ought to be, you and I who know the Lord Jesus, it ought to be that every day we be finding something to do with our Lord, to do with the Word of God, to do with our prayer life, that we have found real, genuine enjoyment and pleasure out of. And I would just like, with that in view, to look at, first of all, we've already had it, and I thought our brother was, you know, one thing, when somebody gets up and says the things that are upon your heart, to me it's not disappointing that he said it. It's encouraging to think that the Spirit of God intended that to be said today. And so it's an encouragement if someone has really just touched on something that has been dear to your own heart. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Chapter 37. Didn't have trouble finding these scriptures. You were looking at them a few minutes ago. Psalm 37, and we'll just read verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Chapter 36. And it's verse 8 that is particularly upon my heart. We'll just read verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men, or the sons of Adam, put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. The river there, it's a word for torrent. It is the torrent and the word for pleasures is a plural of the word Eden, the Garden of Eden, the place of God's delights. And he shall make them drink of the torrent of thine Edens, thy pleasures. And chapter 40, and verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And the final reading in the Song of Songs, Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. You and I have been made by God so that we require pleasure. We've been made for it. As someone has said, like a harp has been made for music. And we remain incomplete and unfulfilled if we don't derive pleasure. We're made for it. And there's no sin in receiving pleasure if it's coming from the right source. Sin comes when you're deriving your pleasure from a wrong source. And you and I, we need to look to our pleasures, because they either will ennoble us or they'll debase us. And I would ask you this afternoon, maybe, perhaps, some of you, if it would be a help, maybe go home, take a piece of paper, and head it, My Pleasures, and write down the things that really bring you heart pleasure. Honestly, like, not the things that you should put down, but the things that are really so in your life. What to you is really a time of pleasure? Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's a day of shopping. Maybe it's a get-together with other young folk. Not necessarily young folk. I take that back, because I wasn't going to direct my remarks to young folk. Maybe it's just a get-together, enjoyment out of other people's company. Maybe it's something you've seen or heard, you've seen today. And you say the thing that if I want to just, turn away from the work life to do something that is really of pleasure, what would it be? We live in a day, and it's very difficult that the spirit of the world doesn't get into our hearts. And I'm terribly afraid that, speaking from self, the spirit of the world is very much there. We live in a day when men are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The Lord Jesus would speak of the pleasures of this life. Of men who take pleasure in unrighteousness. And Isaiah tells us of those that do thine own pleasure, your own pleasure, and not something that is of pleasure to the heart of God. And I think that if we stop and think, we will be ready to acknowledge that it must be extremely grieving to the heart of our God as he looks into our life day by day. And he who made us for his pleasure, I would like to ask you the question, do you think the God who made you for his pleasure can be getting pleasure out of you if you're not getting pleasure out of God? God's complaint long ago to the professed people of God, he said they were guilty of two evils. they'd forsaken the fountain of living water, and they chewed them out, cisterns that hold no water. And I wonder today, as we think of our pleasures, are we forsaking the fountain of living water, the true source, the source of true and real pleasure, and we're seeking to develop pleasures that are not of God? Now, I suppose pleasure is something that can be developed. Now, you often hear the unsaved talk about, you know, the first time that they went into, begun to do some of the things that are done by the world around. The first time they smoked, first time they drank, and it made them sick. I've always been thankful at having parents that kept me from that sort of thing, and to have never developed a taste for it. But you think of the world, and why, the first time they do it, it's no pleasure at all. But they can develop it into a pleasure until it's the kind of pleasure that just got a grip on them, and they can't let it go. And we who've been made for God's pleasure, and the Lord takes pleasure in them that fear Him. The Lord takes pleasure in His people. If you're reading the book of Malachi, He addresses Himself to the people there, and He says, I have no pleasure in you. God is able to make us to will and to do His good pleasure. Now that is something that is, there's a power available in your life and mine, that we can learn to take real, deep, lasting pleasure in the things of God. It's something that we can develop. The ability is there. The power is there. It's up to us to let the Spirit of God so work in our life that spiritual things, the things of God, become things that we really take pleasure in. You know, we sometimes hear somebody saying, I don't feel up to going up to meeting tonight. You know, if we were really taking, finding the gatherings of the saints, the prayer meeting, it's really easy to sing, isn't it? Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that's spent before the throne of God. It's easy to sing it. And yet sometimes when we look around at prayer meeting night, we're wondering whether the saints are really finding this an hour of pure delight, or what kind of an excuse does it take to stay at home? How much better it would be if we're saying, I don't feel up to stay at home. I'm not really feeling too well tonight, but to me, the gathering of the assembly, and the time spent in prayer, or whether it be a time of ministry, or whatever it be, that it to you be such a source of pleasure that even if you're not feeling too well tonight, that I don't feel up to staying at home. Or is it because this time is not really what we sing about? It's not that to our hearts. I've often thought that many of those who've written our hymns, they'd really learned the secret of finding deep and lasting pleasure in their God. Think of one saying, my soul is all transported whene'er I think on thee. And don't you just crave to have a heart that could really, honestly say, my soul is all transported whene'er I think on thee. O thou who art the endless source of purest joy. And we've read here that God has a river of pleasure for you and I to draw from, and to draw from every day. I think we can really test our spirituality by the amount of pleasure we get out of what is spiritual, the amount of pleasure we get out of our God, and the amount of pleasure we get out of spiritual activity. How often when we think of spiritual activity, and our brother has already mentioned it, and that's why I'm just giving a little PS to his message, that to us when we think of spiritual activity. That's responsibility. That's duty. That's something I should do. But I wonder how often it's something I really want to do. It's something that I find a fulfillment, a satisfaction, a joy in it of such a nature that I want to get into it. And to me, it is not something that is difficult. You know, I was thinking of the Apostle Paul, and his love for Christ was such that if the will for him, if the Lord's will for him was infirmity, he had such a love for the Lord Jesus, he said, I take pleasure in infirmities. And that's going a good deal beyond my experience. And yet it's obviously an experience that a person can have and enjoy. That's what the Lord wants for me. I take pleasure in it. We read tonight, his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord, in the Word of God. That the Word of God to the psalmist's heart, as he would think of it, it was to him a positive delight. And that's what the Word of God should be to you and I. It should be a source of real delight. This is our God. This is His Word. This is His purposes. This is His program. It's all about our God. And we love the Lord Jesus. And the more we can learn of the one we love, the more we can learn of His purposes, what He wants, why, to us, the Word of God should be a source of real delight. When we read, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thine heart. Of course, it's a healthy thing to say if you really don't feel your prayer life is an effective prayer life, and you're not getting answers. You ask, and there doesn't seem to be answers, and you wonder if praying is really worthwhile. Do you think maybe the answer comes back to this, that you're failing to delight yourself in the Lord? For He said, when you do that, He'll give you the desires of your heart. And if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, there's one thing you'll be really sure of. You won't have any desires in your heart that are not according to His mind. And therefore, you'll be asking according to His will. And we know that if you ask according to His will, you have the petition that you have asked of Him. And so, if you want a more effective prayer life, then go in for delighting thyself in the Lord. And then we read the words, I delight to do thy will. I delight to do thy will. And as we've already heard, that the person of our Lord Jesus was the perfect example. You know, we're told that He didn't please Himself, but He got tremendous pleasure out of doing the Father's will. While He didn't please Himself, it wasn't that He didn't get pleasure. And of Him, this scripture could be perfectly expressing. If the Father spoke from heaven and said to the Son, in thee I am well pleased, the Son could look back to heaven and say, I delight to do thy will. And of course, if we want to be like Him, and if we're really saved, the Spirit of God is in us. If we love the Lord Jesus, there has to be. And I would say today, if there's anyone here, and there's really no response to this, you might say you're saved, but no real desire to be like Christ, no response to the Word of God, be a very healthy thing for you to examine and see whether you're saved at all or not. Because if you're saved and the Spirit of God is in you, then there's born right in you a desire that you might be like Christ. And to be like Him is to delight in doing the will of God. Maybe some younger folks here today, and maybe you know you should be baptized. And maybe today, if you could say what was said here, I delight to do thy will. Maybe you wouldn't stay unbaptized. You wouldn't stay unbaptized. Maybe you know you should be gathering with the saints, received to the assembly to remember the Lord, to do this in remembrance of Him, and to share with the other saints in the activities and the responsibilities and the joys of assembly life. And you know that's His will for you. So you want to really start getting pleasure out of your God and pleasure out of being a Christian, to have pleasure in your life every day, well then just start doing the will of God, delighting to do His will. And then we notice the writer of the Song of Songs, and he said, I sat down under His shadow with great delight, and His fruit was sweet to my taste. And I think this would bring us into the realm of the worship of our lives, the praises that go up to God. And one of the things that's been impressing my heart quite a bit in just very recently, and was studying the great Hallel, the great hymn of praise, Psalms 113 through 118, and just noticing the themes of praise that are struck, and examining my own heart. Say, I know something about praying. I get down and I ask, and I say, give me this, give me this, give me this. I have a lot of things, I have a lot of wants, a lot of things I'd like the Lord to give me. But how slow I am to just stop and begin to think of the wonder of the one with whom I have to do, who is like the Lord, the incomparable one, and just to start praising. When I speak of praising the Lord, I'm not talking about some glib comment that you often hear in people's lips, and every few words they say, praise the Lord. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about praising the Lord. About having a time when you're on your knees and you're having things you want to ask of God, spend a time and just simply, purely praising the Lord. Telling Him how much you appreciate Him. Telling Him of the things that are impressing your heart about Him. And to be spending a time and really praising God. Not something that you save up for Sunday morning, but something that's a characteristic of your life every day, Monday right through Sunday. And to spend a time in not only asking, but a time in thanking and praising the God with whom you have to do. He's the endless source of purest joy. And if only we got to know Him better, why, how much our thoughts, our time, and everything would be taken up as Him as a source of real pleasure. We live in a day of shorter work weeks, more time of relaxation. Never been a day when there's been more money available to buy beyond the necessities of life, and how much we're given to using that time of relaxation just for number one, just for self, me and mine. And it is so necessary that we just bring ourselves up short at times, examine our hearts, and really honestly and seriously saying, what do I get pleasure out of? And if I'm finding that the source of my pleasure, the source of my enjoyment, is not found in the Lord Jesus, that it be a recognition that I'm away from God in heart, and I need to be restored.